were meditating. Maybe. No, I'm a very good monk. I don't do things like that. But anyway, beginner's class, the introduction to meditation class, that's being held in the room to my right. This is the ongoing class, where we usually choose one aspect of meditation, only one aspect, and to explore that. And over the last few weeks I've been teaching this, I've always been talking about the beginning part of meditation. I'm not really saying too much about the deeper stages of meditation. So today I'm going to talk about what happens when you start to be aware of the breathing. And aware of the breathing is something which happens quite naturally. I know that sometimes when people learn meditation, they focus on their breath deliberately. And even if you don't focus on your breathing deliberately, it comes up naturally anyway. And the reason is this, that in meditation we're learning how to make things still, to calm everything down. And when things calm down, because there's not an irritation anymore, because it's not a big thing in your mind anymore, everything is calmed down, they tend to disappear. And the brain only notices those things which it thinks are important. So when the body relaxes and disappears, the past and the future are no longer a problem and you're not thinking that much, there's basically not that much going on. And this is the reason the only thing left moving is your breathing, breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. And because that's moving, that becomes an object of meditation, whether you choose to watch it or not. And sometimes the people find it difficult to watch the breath in a natural way, simply because in order to watch something very subtle like a breath, which is not moving around, it's not what the world would consider to be exciting, it does need to have quite a degree of mindfulness. And as I've often taught here, mindfulness is not just something you decide to create and say, I'm now going to be mindful. Mindfulness is something you develop, and it is a stillness which develops a mindfulness that gets stronger and stronger and stronger. So the simile is like when you first sort of maybe wake up and there's no lights in your room, it's all dark, you can't see very much, and then you turn the lights on. Later on you don't need the lights because the sunlight is even stronger. And maybe in the middle of the day the sunlight is incredibly strong, so you can see so much more. The intensity of the light means you can see more and more details. And that is similar to mindfulness. When the mindfulness gets strong, its intensity gets very strong, so you can literally see much more of what's going on. And when it comes to the breathing, when the mindfulness is strong enough, it's easy to see the breath going in and going out, and surprisingly it's quite interesting. I know that many people will often say, how on earth can you monks, nuns, meditators sit down for half an hour, 40 minutes watching your breath? Don't you get bored? And the answer is, you know, truthfully, no. Because when the mindfulness is strong enough, the breath becomes actually interesting and delightful. And this is one of the reasons why that in the early stages of meditation, I ask you to really get into the mindfulness, be aware of your body, and also to start noticing the delight when the body is relaxed, it gets very still, to notice the delight in, say, just being in the present moment, the state of freedom from all these worries and concerns, which is a beautiful feeling. And to notice delight all the way is one way of increasing the power of your mindfulness. Until when you're watching the breath, it's pretty easy to watch. The problem with many meditators is they go onto the breath too soon. When you go onto your breathing too soon, literally your mindfulness isn't really strong enough yet to really be able to hold it with little effort. The only way you can watch the breath is with force. However, if you develop your mindfulness first of all by just going through the normal way of meditating, letting go of the body, calming it all down, letting go of past and future, in the present moment, and if you go through it that way, that by the time the breath comes to you, your mindfulness is strong enough, it's pretty easy to notice. And it's also interesting, simply because there's enough intensity of mindfulness, you can see what's going on pretty easily. And when you start to watch the breathing again, because if that's all you are doing, it's not very much. Your brain is pretty inactive. It's just knowing. And because of its inactivity, the energy starts to move from doing stuff. It gets freed into knowing, going into mindfulness. Just watching the breath for a few minutes increases the mindfulness. So it's easier to see the breath. So when you get to that stage where the mindfulness starts to increase, you start to see more of the breath, then you know you're going on the right course. For those of you who've read this in things like Anapanasati Sutta or read in people's books like Mindfulness, Bliss and Beyond, you will see sometimes we call it stages of breath meditation, just to be able to notice the breath going in and going out, and then to start seeing the whole of the breath from the very beginning of an in-breath to the end of an in-breath, and then to see the delightful breath, you know, it's joyful. These are just things which happen quite naturally as your awareness grows. You start by just knowing a breath going in, breath going out, and because that's not doing very much, it means you start to get more aware. Instead of just breath going in, breath going out, you see more of the in-breath, more of the out-breath. And you start to see so much of the in-breath, so much of the out-breath, it becomes a continual flow of feelings, you know, through your mind. And you feel at the very beginning of an in-breath, and I like to encourage people to notice this, the very first time an in-breath arises. And then just that particular feeling and the sensation changes, it grows until you get to the peak feeling of, you know, the in-breath, and then it fades away. With my in-breath, it's maybe about 3/4 of the time it's going in, and it goes out, but it finishes, it decays pretty fast comparing to its reaching its peak of inhaling breath. And then you find that place where the breath stops, the in-breath is finished, and you just pause. You know, it's taking the in-breath in, I'm not quite sure what the body's doing with it, but it doesn't breathe out straight away, it's a pause there. And then the first of the out-breath starts, and it grows to its peak, and then it fades away again, until it's gone. It's hundreds of different sensations, with just one in-breath and one out-breath. And the only way that can happen is if your awareness is really strong, I mean really strong. And that happens because you're not doing things, because you're relaxing, you're resting, you're just watching, you're being a passive observer rather than a control freak doing everything. And when that starts to happen, you see the whole of the breath beginning to end. It does quite naturally turn out to be quite delightful. You're doing less every time, and you're knowing more every time. As if the energy, doing, knowing, it starts to move away from knowing. It starts to move away from doing things. And all the energy, all the focus just goes into knowing. That's called stillness, calming down. And so you see the breath more and more and more. The intensity of the mindfulness allows you to see more, and it becomes really, really delightful more and more. And I've always taught that this is one of the most important parts of the meditator's journey. To get to that stage and see the whole breath beginning to end, in and out, and it's delightful. So delightful that people can just meditate there for sometimes hours, just sitting there, just enjoying the breath going in, breath going out, totally absorbed into that beautiful feeling, and just basically not wanting to go anywhere else, having a good time. That's an important stage. Now what happens to many meditators who get to that stage, the breath gets very soft, but they haven't developed enough mindfulness yet, it's not strong enough. So when the breath does vanish, they get into a dull state. I wouldn't call it like low energy, but they just don't know what they're watching after the breath vanishes. It's one of the reasons why I ask people, please don't go too fast in your meditation. Stay with the delightful breath a little bit longer. Even if it does take a bit of restraint, keeping the mind back from going where it wants to go. Because once you get the breath delightful, you're enjoying the breath, that is the sign that, you know, your mindfulness is strong enough. If you can see the whole breath going in, that's nice and peaceful. Peace is good, but without the joy, it means no, it's not ready yet. So you want to try and get your mind to be really, really joyful as well. And the joy, the usual thing which I say, which has happened many times on retreats, when we do these 9-day retreats, you know, we keep what's called in Buddhism 8 precepts, don't have a meal in the afternoon or the evening, no dinner. And you get these meditators on these retreats, they're meditating just before lunch. They know if they miss the lunch, they're not going to eat till tomorrow morning. And even so, they know it's, you know, lunch now, but they're having such a good time meditating, they prefer to stay watching their breath than going for a meal and avoiding the hunger in the evening. That always happens on these retreats. And that gives you an indication of what the happiness is really like. So when we decide to know what the happiness is and develop that, then when your breath vanishes, then you've got enough awareness and mindfulness. That is when, you know, you see, you know, what's left after the breath vanishes, which is, you know, the beautiful light in the mind. What is happening is your 5 senses of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting and physical touch are being calmed down because of stillness. They're vanishing. You can't see anything, you're not hearing things, you're not so smelling, tasting, and the physical touch, it disappears with the breath. All those 5 senses have vanished. And now you come face to face with the 6th sense, the human mind. And just like the Buddha said, this human mind is radiant when there's no defilements coming to obstruct it. So you see the beautiful light in the mind. And you may know that that is exactly the same light which people see when you die. People have near-death experiences floating out of their body and they go towards a light. Why is that? It's obvious when you know what meditation is. In death, your 5 senses have stopped, but they're stopped permanently. In meditation, it's only a temporary stopping of the 5 senses, but this is what happens afterwards, a beautiful light in the mind. If ever you've looked at some of those videos, those interviews of people who've had those near-death experiences or read their books, you know, going towards the light, they always describe it as a really beautiful, ecstatic experience, which it is, and you can do that in meditation. So what you really do is keep with the breathing until it's really, really delightful. Get a lot of good energy there. So mindfulness is very strong. So when the breath does vanish, your mindfulness is strong enough to be able to perceive that light. And of course, once you start to perceive that light, once it's there in front of you, then you have a great time. The job is, of course, is to keep that light stable, because a lot of times when people first see a beautiful light, it flashes up and then disappears again, simply because they get excited or they get sometimes afraid. It's quite natural the first few times, but after a while you get used to this. It's beautiful, no need to be afraid. It's perfectly safe. In all the years I've taught meditation, I keep on telling this to people, I told this recently when I was in Hong Kong teaching a retreat. In all the many years I've taught meditation, and I taught meditation when I was a school teacher, so I've been teaching to 900 kids in the morning assembly. So that was in 1973. So I've been teaching meditation for 42 years. In all that time I've never lost one meditator, no one has actually died or got sick. So it's perfectly safe. So what happens is you soon become very peaceful, very calm, see the beautiful light, and your next job is seeing how you can keep that beautiful light stable and allow it to grow stronger and stronger and stronger. That is the way. Okay, so I just was talking today about from the breath to the light. Okay, so we can now do some meditation, and just to make the announcement again, for those of you who have come for the introduction to meditation class, this is the first few lessons for meditation. That is a class outside doing the, what I sometimes joke as the zombie meditation. I called it zombie meditation because there was a retreat being held at my retreat center in Jhana Grove, and a little kid went to visit with his parents, and he came back to me, Ajahn Brahm, Ajahn Brahm, Ajahn Brahm, there are zombies in your retreat center. Because they were doing what you can see outside now. If you turn your head around, they're practicing walking meditation. Really, really slow. Just like zombies in the movie. But I said, no, that's walking meditation. That's not zombies. They're Buddhist. But anyway, those of you who have come for the introduction meditation class, it's in the room to my right here. We're now going to start the meditation for about 35 minutes, because we're going to finish at 10 to 4 today. Q&A for 10 minutes, and then afterwards, as I mentioned earlier, people are going to get ready for the annual general meeting. So exciting. So here we go. So if you'd like to get yourselves nice and comfortable in your meditation posture. And bring all your awareness to your body, first of all. How are you sitting? With your eyes closed, ask that question. Can you make your physical posture more comfortable? If you move your legs or fidget your bottom, can you be more comfortable? If so, please do so. Be kind to your body. If you need to scratch something, please do so. Cough, sneeze. It's important to be careful in making your body as comfortable as possible in the beginning. And you do this by being aware of your body, knowing how it feels, knowing the different sensations and pressures and tightnesses inside and outside your body, and seeing if they can be alleviated by movement. When you've got your body as comfortable as possible by movement, stay with your body and see if you can make it more comfortable by being aware of inner feelings of tightness, tension, aches, irritation. Being aware of that and using the feedback which is given by awareness of those feelings. They change. You get feedback, you find out what makes those feelings more irritable, what makes them more relaxed. And with this process you learn how to relax aches and pains inside your body. And you spend maybe the first 10 minutes at least of a meditation, just learning how to relax your own body. This is not just about your body. It is sharpening the tools of mindfulness and kindness to be used on your mental world in a few moments' time. We use it on our body first. Relaxing your body inside out from the bottom of your toes to the top of your head until your awareness is strong enough you can feel your whole body at peace. For those of you who have trouble thinking too much, always dwelling in past and future, this body awareness also stops much of that thinking. You have to focus on your body instead. And relax your body. You can feel any pressures inside your body. See what is necessary to relieve those pressures. Anything being pulled tight, find out how to release it. Your awareness is the dial. You can see this attitude, that attitude. What turns that dial towards maximum relaxation? when the body is so relaxed it feels delightful. Really open, resting. The best you've felt all day sometimes. Then you can go and relax your emotional world. Relaxing all the past, relaxing all the future. Always look at the past and the future, just like aches and pains in my body. Only these are aches and pains in the mind. The future just stretching me to a place it doesn't really belong. I just let it go. Relax it, free it. And the past, this big weight dragging me backwards. Just like carrying a heavy backpack on your shoulders. I just take it off and put it down. Pick it up later, but not now. I find out what's necessary to be in this present moment, so I'm not caught up in past or future. Until my awareness tells me that I'm centered in the here and now. I'm always really concerned or rather wary of the thinking. All the thinking is like the waves on an agitated lake. In order to allow those waves to subside, trying to get rid of them just makes them worse. I just imagine all those thoughts like the waves of my mind. And I calm the mind down. What's underneath those thoughts, when that calms down, then the thoughts calm as well. And I also have the mindfulness dial inside which tells me whether I'm obsessed with thoughts, whether the thoughts are slowing down. And eventually I'm aware when those thoughts get less and less until they stop. And every time I do this, I learn how to calm the thoughts. So I get better at it every time. mind becomes calm, the only thing left is the breathing. It's to know the breath going in and out first of all. To be able to relax enough to do so little that your mental energy goes more and more into mindfulness, just passive observing. So you literally, you get more intense mindfulness. You begin to see more and more of your breathing. Not just in and out. Beginning 5%, 10%, right to the peak and then as it fades away to nothing. You can't do this by force. It has to be natural. And also being aware of the delight of a mind becoming peaceful. It's not just watching the breath, seeing the breath become delightful, beautiful. Getting very close to the end of the meditation now. Before you open your eyes, ask how you feel. How was this meditation today? Especially what worked and what did not work. So we learn every time. Growing more to understand mindfulness and kindness, peace and stillness, the nature of our body and the nature of our mind. We are going to ring the gong 3 times to end the meditation. Very good. So now, please, those outside, please don't come in yet because meditation class isn't finished. So the next 10 minutes we have the opportunities for questions about the meditation. So anyone have any questions about the meditation for today? The opportunity. Was there any questions in the box there? Rodney, is anything in there? No, okay. Please always remember, if you haven't got a question yourself, yes, have you have one? Good. No. Then you may always ask one sort of by writing on a piece of paper and putting it in a box. So today, remember, I was talking about the deeper levels of meditation and also just encouraging and emphasizing the idea that mindfulness has to grow stronger and stronger in the meditation. The cause of mindfulness getting strong is stillness, doing less, knowing more. And that creates more and more mindfulness. It always is accompanied by greater happiness, joy, whatever you're looking at. And that way that you tend to grow deeper and deeper and go deeper and deeper. So the breath, you can see the whole breath, see the whole thing vanish, and also to be able to see these beautiful lights. For those of you who want to get another angle on this mindfulness, there is one of my favorite poems when I was a student from this 17th century painter and mystic, William Blake. And it's a very famous little four-line part of a much bigger poem, where he said, "To see a world in a grain of sand, a heaven in a wild flower, hold infinity in the palm of your hand, an eternity in an hour." And I love that little poem because it shows what mindfulness can do. To see a world in a grain of sand, you're so aware that you can see just in a tiny, tiny little piece of sand, a grain, you can see a whole world in there. That's what mindfulness is like when it grows intense. Not sleepy, but alive, really awake. And to see a heaven in a wild flower. You know, in Western Australia we have lots of wild flowers, but they're so tiny that many people, if they're not looking for them, just walk over them. But when our mindfulness gets really strong, a small little flower becomes so incredibly beautiful. It's a heaven there. And hold infinity in the palm of your hand. It's the ultimate. You're mindful, you're aware, you can see things. And eternity, or others, you'd call it timelessness. And I often say the only reason that a poet like Blake said an hour, because that's what rhymed with flower. And if it was like a moment or present moment, he would have used that. So, a little idea about the amazing part to be played by stillness, greater mindfulness, greater power in your meditation. Any other questions yet? Going, going, gone. Okay, so we can finish off now. We finished a bit early today, but that's because we're having an annual general meeting. So if you do have anything really, really pressing to ask, you can please come up while everybody sets up for the AGM. It'll probably take 10 or 15 minutes to set things up, give cards out to members and everything else. But please remember, if you are a member of the Buddhist Society of West Australia, you get these little red cards, they've got them somewhere there, so that you can vote in any elections. So you have to register, so please, when they set up a table, I think Val, the secretary, will be taking the registrations. Okay, so have a wonderful time. I'm now going to bow three times for the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha to formally end the meditation. Those of you who want to bow, please bow with me.